Well, last Sunday was Mother's Day, and prior to that, we've been going through some of the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. And I recently touched on John chapter 21, where the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee on a boat, and they saw a figure on the shore, and the figure on the shore was the Lord Jesus. And they heard his voice. They'd been toiling all night, and they heard the voice of Jesus. They'd caught no fish. Jesus gave them instructions and they obeyed him and they had a bountiful catch. And as we looked at that, I reminded us that each of us need to hear the voice of Jesus and each of us need to obey the voice of Jesus for a fruitful life. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but has passed from death into life." I wonder, is there a time in your life where you've actually heard the voice of Jesus? How do we hear the voice of Jesus? We hear the voice of Jesus through his word. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words." Have you heard the words of Jesus through the word of God? I want to ask you, has there ever been a time that you've heard the words of Jesus about salvation? Jesus said in John chapter 3, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus went on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Have you been saved this morning? Was there a time in your life where you realized that you're a sinner, you needed a saviour, and you heard the words of Jesus in relation to salvation? Well, if you're saved, you've been called to be a fisher of men. But there came a day in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus called them from fishing for fish to be fishers of men. And he called them to do that by proclaiming the gospel. He was going to train them for 3 years and send them out to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And God wants us, each of us here, also to be fishers of men. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, talking of the Lord, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Each of us are called to fish for souls in the ocean of humanity by presenting the good news of the gospel to people. Perhaps in John chapter 21, they forgot to invite Jesus. In John 21, this is the third resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. So the disciples knew very much that Jesus was alive. They'd seen him twice before. But perhaps in this fishing trip, they neglected to invite the Lord Jesus. And in our ministries, in our fishing for men, we can easily go out in the flesh and we can forget to invite Jesus Christ, who will give us fruit and give us fish as we proclaim the gospel. Look at John 21, verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them," Jesus is on the shore here, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. A bit unusual. He put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. Probably not a very safe way to swim, but that's what he did. If you look at verse 9, "Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, if you read the rest of John chapter 21, we see the restoration, I believe, and the call of Peter to ministry. Jesus took Peter with his failures and was going to use him to be a leader in the church. Now, if you think about Peter, what sort of character was he? Was he a person that could naturally be a church leader? And we know he got a call in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Simon there was with his brother Andrew, and they left their boats and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you study Peter, you actually find out that people could have looked on him and thought, he's not a perfect candidate for church ministry. What was his characteristics like? Well, Peter was an impulsive man. He didn't always make the right decisions. It was Peter in Matthew chapter 16 that rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told the disciples that he was going to die, that he'd be going to Jerusalem, and he was going to be raised from the dead. But Peter rebuked the Lord in Matthew chapter 16. And this is what Jesus said to Peter in verse 23. "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" This is the future church leader. And the future church leader, one of the future church leaders, Peter, rebuked Jesus, and Jesus rebuked Peter. You know, Peter had spiritual insight, he also made spiritual blunders. I think when you go to John chapter 6 and verse 68, you see that Peter has tremendous spiritual insight. The Bible says, "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Peter there proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. This man Peter had spiritual insight, but this man Peter also made spiritual blunders as well. You know, if you read Galatians chapter 2, Paul rebukes Peter. This is early on in church history. He rebukes Peter because Peter refuses to eat with the Gentiles. And Peter's testimony, refusing to eat with the Gentiles, drew other believers away as well, and also a person called Barnabas. And Barnabas was drawn away, and Peter had a terrible testimony then. Well, God changed him, and God used him. Peter could confess Christ, and yet Peter could deny Christ. We know that Peter denied Christ three times at the house of the high priest. What a man. I wonder if you and I were examining a man to lead the early church, if you were examining a man to preach at Jerusalem to thousands, if we looked at the characteristics of this impulsive man, a man that had spiritual highs and spiritual lows, would you pick him for a church leader? I think maybe many wouldn't. Yet this impulsive man, this foolish man at times, this mistaken man at times, God used him greatly in the early church. If you follow Peter's story, he became an elder. And you see that in 1 Peter 5 verse 1. An elder's a church leader. He became an apostle and he became a writer. Peter wrote part of the Bible for us that we have today. You know, when I think about the life of Peter, I'm glad that I can read about him. Because when I see his failures, I'm reminded of my own failures. When I hear about the call of Peter to ministry, I can see how God uses broken vessels for his glory. You know, you and I, we're just cracked pots, really, when you read the scriptures. Cracked pots that God wants to use for his glory. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." He describes himself as an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God uses us as earthen vessels. Why? Well, if you look down at verse 10, "that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." One writer wrote this, "We are like common clay flower pots. The Lord does not expect us to perform as though we were anything other than clay pots. He just wants us to be what a vessel is created to be, a container for its intended contents. The will of God is that Christ would come to dwell in and be expressed through the earthen vessel of our humanity. The Lord Jesus wants to be the heavenly blooming flower in the clay pot of our lives. God's plan is to put extraordinary heavenly treasure into ordinary earthen vessels so that the attention will go to the contents, Christ, and not to the container." The Apostle Peter was an imperfect clay pot, and Jesus wanted to shine through him, and Jesus wants to shine through our earthen vessels as well. God took a faulty vessel, and God took that faulty vessel and gave him a future. You know, it's interesting when you read the accounts of Jesus calling the early disciples. In Peter's case, the Lord Jesus didn't search the temple courts to grab an attending priest for the ministry. Jesus didn't go from town to town searching in the synagogues to see if he could find a man that was splendid in the scriptures. What did he do? He went to the Sea of Galilee. He saw men that were just working at their daily tasks, and he called them out of their work to be fishers of men. He didn't call the big cogs of the synagogues. He called common men to come and to follow him. Now, we know there were people with great education that the Lord Jesus called. I know one of them was a mighty theologian, and that was the Apostle Paul. But that mighty theologian, the Apostle Paul, wrote these words of wisdom. He said, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." That learned man, the Apostle Paul, writes that God's calling, he calls people that are not many wise, not many mighty and not many noble. Yet he was a man that had great wisdom. I became a Christian in my early 20s, and God began to work in my life and work in Judy's life as well. And after some years, I decided that I would end up going to theological college. So I wrote away to some theological colleges. I think it was before the days of the internet. I couldn't send an email back then. I wrote away to some of them, and I got information back. And some of the theological colleges, one wanted me to have a BA before I could study to be a minister. I found out it wasn't biblical attitude. It was a Bachelor of Arts I had to start. I had to start a Bachelor of Arts before I could go to the theological college. Well, I couldn't start the Bachelor of Arts because I didn't finish school. I didn't finish school because I couldn't do the maths. And I remember in Year 11 being put into 2A maths class. And 2A maths class had a nickname, and it was called Veggie Maths. It was for people that were hopeless at maths. But I couldn't even pass Veggie Maths. And I ended up leaving. I knew I just couldn't carry on. So I ended up leaving school. Well, because I couldn't pass Veggie Maths, I couldn't get a HSC. And because I couldn't get a HSC, I couldn't get a BA or start a BA. Another college that I inquired about, they said that they wanted me to have a degree before I could enter that particular college. Well, I couldn't get a degree because I didn't finish school. Well, I ended up finding out about the Baptists, and I found out that the Baptists actually, they would let tradesmen into their pulpit. They would let men or even labourers to be called as pastors. And so I end up applying for the Baptist College. And they didn't worry about me being in Veggie Maths, and they actually let me in. And I found first year so hard at college. I remember going to Judy and wanting to quit. I remember getting the results of my preaching. I think it was 21 out of 40 I got for preaching. And it was really, really hard the first year. But you see, God wants to take us wherever we are. And, you know, I think theological colleges make major mistakes, because a lot of theological colleges are looking for top academic people. And I wonder how many colleges have closed the doors to men and ladies that want to be missionaries, and they've closed the doors to them because they don't meet their educational qualifications. I think that theological colleges need to review how Jesus called men and what types of men he called. He called common Galilean fishermen. The religious crew looked down upon them and thought they were untrained and ignorant men when they heard them talk. We've got to remember that the Lord Jesus went across and he saw a man called Matthew, a man that was despised by his own people because he was collecting taxes. And he called him to follow him. And then there was that man Zacchaeus, the short man, he's up a tree. And Jesus says, "Today I'm coming to your house." And the Lord Jesus blessed his house, and there was the tax collectors and the despised. We've got to remember that the Lord Jesus calls common people cracked pots for his glory. You see, you're calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Here is Peter. And the Apostle Peter had made a lot of mistakes. But God was going to use him to be one of the most powerful preachers in the early church. There's a wonderful hymn and it's called "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." And it goes, "You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do." When you study Bible history and when you study church history, you find out that God specializes in taking nobodies and he makes them somebodies for his glory. I don't know if you ever studied the great lives of the great missionaries, but there was a lady called Gladys Allward. And Gladys Allward got into a missionary college. And Gladys Allward failed her tests and she couldn't continue any longer in that missionary college. And Gladys Allward was determined to become a missionary to China. And someone wrote about her. They said she had no education, no useful skills, no money, or no missionary society to back her. And at age 27, she was old by missionary standards. Gladys did not let this discourage her. She ends up getting a job as a housemaid to raise money for herself to go to China. She now knew that if she was going to follow God's call to China, she would have to provide her own funding and education. If you read her story, she sets off by herself on these train trips to get to China. She ends up walking part of the way through dangerous places. She almost gets imprisoned as well. And she goes through and she fulfills her dream of becoming a missionary to China. And as you read her story, there was this great rescue of these children. The war had started. And Gladys Allward leads these children over the mountains. They made a movie of her life. The girl that the missionary society put out because she couldn't pass her exams became one of the greatest missionaries to China. Gladys said, "I am at peace within because I know that he never faileth." Gladys said, "Oh God, here's my Bible. Here's my money. Use me, God." And God did greatly. God takes failures and gives them a future. God takes hopeless cases and gives them hope. Go through the Bible. Think of Elijah. There is Elijah, the man of miracles. And God used him greatly. God used him. He fed him miraculously by the ravens. God used him to go to the king of the day and tell the king that there was going to be a drought. And there was a drought. God used Elijah as he witnessed a resurrection in a widow's house. God used Elijah by doing a wonderful miracle by the hands of God at Mount Carmel, calling down fire from heaven, defeating the prophets of Baal. And you look at this great man, and then he gets a death threat. And the man of faith becomes a man of fear, and he runs for his life. But then he hears a still, small voice of God that calls him to continue in ministry. A man that did wonderful miracles, but a man that was gripped with fear. God calls him again. The Bible is full of stories of how God picks failures and how God picks up nobodies and makes them somebodies for his glory. The woman at the well, the first missionary that Jesus sent to the Samaritans, not one failed marriage, not two failed marriages, not three failed marriages, not four failed marriages, but five failed marriages. And the guy she was with was not her husband. And Jesus must go through Samaria because there's a woman he desires to meet. A woman despised, I think, by her own town because she's collecting water at midday, the hottest part of the day where she'd be by herself. And yet the Messiah appears to her. And the Messiah gives her a mission. And she stands face to face with the living God. And she goes back to her town and she says, "Come see a man." And she makes such an impact on the village that people go out, they hear a voice, and they too come face to face with the Messiah. She would have been rejected as a missionary candidate, but Jesus didn't reject her. Jesus made this broken vessel a living vessel for the living water. Good news was proclaimed by a despised woman. Good news was poured out from her to a despised people. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" God takes failures and gives them a future. In Peter's story, there's hope for us all. Peter was a failure in a number of ways, but God calls him to ministry. And God states that in the person of Jesus. He calls him three times. Verse 15, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" What was Jesus saying? The boat's there on the shore. The net's there. Simon had gone fishing. He'd been called a fisher of men. Was he discouraged? Had he gone back to the fishing trade? Was Jesus saying to him, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your boats and your nets and the fish and the occupation?" Was Jesus saying that? You know, I think Jesus says that to some people today. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your occupation? Do you love me more than your most treasured possession? Do you even love me more than your family? "Do you love me more than these?" he said to him. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Now, you've got to recall, there was a three-time denial of Peter, of Christ. And Christ is asking him three times, "Do you love me?" And this is a restoration to ministry. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I believe if you truly love the Lord Jesus, you'll do his will. I believe if you truly love the Lord Jesus, you will be about feeding people with the glorious Word of God. I believe if you love the Lord Jesus and you're called into pastoral ministry, you're called to feed the lambs. You're called to feed the sheep. You're called to tend the sheep. Now, that's a call, I believe, for pastors, but also all of us are called into the position of bringing the words of life to other people. Jesus said this in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have theological education, if you're a scribe, if you're a Pharisee." No. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Our ministries have got to be connected to love for Jesus, and then when we love Jesus, we'll love other people. Peter loved others. Peter was willing to be persecuted for the good news of the gospel that he proclaims. I heard of a little boy, and he used to walk to church, and he used to walk past all these different churches, and people thought, why is he walking past all these churches and he's going down to that one when he could have gone to any of these other ones? You know what his answer was? Because they love a fella down there. They love a fella down there. Our badge should be love. We should love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, just to finish the story on Peter here, you know he became a powerful preacher. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Imagine preaching one sermon, and you can read it in Acts chapter 2. It's not very long, a lot shorter than my sermons. And imagine 3,000 people bowing their knee to Jesus, and 3,000 people identifying with Jesus in baptism. You go to Acts chapter 4. Here's the common fishermen, Peter and John, and they teach the people about the resurrection. And then we have about 5,000 hear the word and believe. The next day, Peter goes before the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. And the Bible says this: "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." Some translations say ignorant men. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. God took a man that had fumbled, a man that had failed, a man that was just a common worker, and he transformed him for his glory. And I want to encourage you here this morning. You might look back over your life and you might think, "I've made that mistake, I've fallen into that sin, I've made a disaster perhaps of my life, I've made a disaster perhaps of my education, of my family life, a disaster with my friends, a disaster in my occupational life." You might look at your life and you look back and you might say it's been a total mess. I want you to look that God takes cracked pots, earthen vessels, and he mends them and he uses them so that the light of Jesus can shine through us, so that we can love others, so that we can love Jesus, and we can present the gospel to a lost and lonely world.